Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 21, verse 1 to 19. Before we get into this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty love. We thank you for this chance to be within your word, and we ask you, Lord, this day that our eyes and hearts are open to receive what it is that you have for us. Whether it be enlightening, encouraging, or challenging, we pray, Lord, that all this is to your glory. We pray for your mercy upon the expounding of the word. May the sermon too be pleasing to you and used by you. We pray this, Lord, and we thank you that we can place our trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 21, verse 1 to 19. Hear now God's word. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together, going at the fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered, and he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But yet when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm following the lectionary again. During the season of Lent, I followed the devotional that we had all passed past that. But I'm back to lectionary, and this is the scripture for today. Now, this scripture that we read, 1 through 19, is quite a longer one than what we usually do. There is so much on it. I could easily preach 4 or 5 different sermons based upon this section alone. And I'm going to. So if you just want to get nice and comfortable, we'll be here for a couple hours, and we'll just talk all day long. Not all of you look happy about that. That's okay. We're not going to do that. Let's do one sermon, and then we'll save the rest for later. It's good. There's so much here. what's going on is that Peter and the disciples are just hanging out for the day. They're in a locked room. They're hanging. Now you got to imagine here for a second. Things aren't in a good place right now for the just disciples. Jesus was just killed. Now he had visited them twice after his resurrection, but everything's still kind of uncertain, up in the air a bit. And the Jews are still mad at them. They're still afraid that they're going to be thrown in prison. And when it comes to the future, they're not sure. Jesus is alive, but what does that mean? How's that going to affect their life? And so Peter does something that is just, it's so human. Something that I could relate to a lot. How many, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but how many ex-smokers do we have here? We got a few. Okay, got a couple. Any ex-chocolate eaters by any chance? You're like, no, we still eat lots of chocolate. We're not giving that up. Got a few ex. Okay, so smoking. My grandmother was an ex-smoker. I remember going over her house, and my grandmother and grandfather smoked like a chimney. Which was nice because it meant there was a lot of lighters around the house, and a 9-year-old in lighters, which is, I had a lot of fun with that. But I got to say, when my grandmother quit smoking, she still occasionally would miss it. There was times in her life, especially when she woke up in the morning, that morning cigarette was just really nice. You know, and she never hated the smell of cigarette smoke. It was always a nice remembrance of the time when she smoked. And so she missed it on occasion. And there were times in her life where she kind of yearned for that. And it's not just cigarettes, but a lot of times in our life, we yearn for the things of the past, whatever they might be. In fact, Netflix and other TV shows have capitalized on that. It's a term, you might have heard it before. It's called nostalgia. Nostalgia has made many people very, very rich over the years. Netflix, for example. How many of you have binge watched some of your favorite shows of old? Oh, I know I have. We just talked this morning, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, me and my son, we've watched that in reruns. I've spent far too much time watching old episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants. Just love that show. Thank you. I don't usually get kids' approvals. Something nice. I know we have ER fans. Watch, right? Grey's Anatomy, that's what it is. Grey's Anatomy. ER is one you can binge watch. My mother-in-law binge watched every episode of, I think it was L.A. Law, in a month. Yeah, so I don't know, there's tons of stuff there. And you know, we crave those things on occasion. Especially, I think we crave nostalgia when we're uncertain or at least don't like what's going on now. Because the things in the past, those were nice. You know, some of my best memories are of those things that I enjoyed and I still enjoy today because of those memories. Spaghetti dinners. Love spaghetti dinners. It was a fond memory. I haven't had a proper spaghetti dinner in a long time. And I miss those kinds of things. Peter was in the same, no pun intended, boat. He doesn't know what's happening in the future. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds. He may be dead tomorrow or in jail. He doesn't know if he's going to follow Jesus. Remember, though he's seen Jesus twice already, He hasn't been able to sit down and talk with them, and he denied Jesus three times. Peter's a very emotional and very passionate person, and this would weigh heavy on his heart. And so he says, you know, guys, I can't take this. I'm going fishing. Now, he's been fishing his entire life. His dad was a fisherman, and presumably his dad was a fisherman, and the fishing was the business. Jesus met them fishing. And so at least, out of everything that's happening in his life right now, at least he can fish. So him and his new friends, they go out and they spend the night doing what Peter knows how to do. Fish. Anyone ever watch MacGyver? MacGyver fans? Yeah, MacGyver fans. I love MacGyver. I binge watch MacGyver. It's terrible. I don't know how I bought all that stuff he ended up doing. None of it makes any sense. You can't do those things that he did. And sometimes when we go back to those things that we so enjoyed, it doesn't hold up anymore. It doesn't bring us the same sense of joy that it once did. We're in a different place. Peter went back to fishing, the thing that he knew so well, and it betrayed him. It wasn't working out for him. Frustrated, seemingly, about his night of not catching any fish, this thing that never betrayed him before, he sees a man on the shore of the sea, and the guy calls out, "Why don't you throw it on the right side of the boat?" And Peter's like, you know, whatever at this point, throws it on the right side of the boat, and 153 large fish. Why the Bible tells us 153, I don't know, except to say it's a lot. 153 large fish, pulls it up. They can't even pull it out of the water. Peter, the fisherman, who his entire life is about fishing, and his day that he wanted to do with his friends to relax and to blow off some steam is to go fishing. And now that he finally has tons of fish, Peter turns his back on it, realizing that's not what he wants after all. Jumps in the water with all of his clothes on, swims after Jesus because that's what he wants. Finally getting a few moments with Christ alone, Jesus then turns to him and asks Peter, "Do you love me?" three different times. This, again, is a sermon in and of itself. There's the Greek words for love are all different kinds of words that stipulate different kinds of love. We're not going to get into that. The point is that Jesus asks him three times, and Peter had denied Jesus three times. Each question covered up each denial. Peter, proclaiming Jesus' love for Jesus those three times, Jesus' response to him at the very end was, "I know. Now follow me." Telling Peter how he was going to die was the same way as telling Peter, "You're going to be with me forever. You may have denied me three times, but your presence in my presence is assured." What's your favorite meal of the day? Lunch? We got some lunch. Dinners? I used to love breakfast. Now since my, I'm getting a little older and there's cholesterol issues in my family, breakfast is like, I don't know why, breakfast is like anti-heart. Some of the best meals of breakfast is like the worst food for you if you have certain issues. Bacon and eggs and sausage, oh, cheese. My dad used to make this casserole called Rebecca's Surprise. Scrambled eggs and cheese and sausage and bacon and pieces of bread all in one mess. And it was the best tasting mess in the world. Throw a little syrup or ketchup on the top and you were golden. I love breakfast. But the funny thing about breakfast is the name. It seems like everyone loves breakfast, or at least everyone likes to eat. There's an easy question for you. How many of you like to eat? Good, we got some eaters in here. Eating is a lot of fun. In fact, we love eating so much that the first meal of the day, in its very name, is celebrating eating. Break fast. No longer do we have to fast because we're sleeping. We now get to eat. And so we name an entire meal around eating, breaking our fast together. And this meal that they had together with Jesus was indeed a breakfast, because it was early in the morning. They had bread and fish. And the neat thing about this is that for many of the disciples, this was truly a breaking of a fast. Not just a hunger thing, but a spiritual fast. The past few days, past few weeks after Jesus had died, everything was turmoil and chaos, not knowing what's going to happen next. Yes, Jesus returned, but what does that mean for us? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Are we going to be in trouble? What about the Jews who wants to arrest us? I feel lost. I feel afraid. No one's with me. What's going on? What's happening? We've all spiraled before at some point in our life. Jesus' very presence there on the beach with them broke their fast. Jesus' presence let them know that everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be here with you. Peter's fast is probably deeper than all the others because he feels deeper than many. And Jesus saying to him, I know you love me. Now serve me. Broke Peter's fast. The pain and the shame that he felt over the mistake that he made. Three times, Jesus says to him, I know that you will be with me always. This moment that we're on the beach with Jesus is a moment that I think sometimes we all need. A reminder that though we're in those desert and those dry parts in our life, a time when things aren't going the way that we want, that our fast is broken through the love of Jesus Christ when he reminds us, yeah, I'm with you. And I'll be with you always. We just came through Lent, an entire season of fasting, and now Easter reminds us the fast is over. Now we celebrate. Now we do what it is Christ has laid before us to do. Now we eat the feast of serving Christ forever. Here, receive benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And go in peace.